Once again, we are live in the Quicken Loans studios. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently with Quicken Loans. We're going to talk some boxing. The top-ranked WBC welterweight, Sean Porter, joins me next segment. Going back to last segment, there is no way that I don't react or respond or reset that telephone call from Jeff in Southfield. Strange dude, man. Weird dude. Now, I don't know if he's like 50% genius, 50% nut, or what's going on with this guy, but he's called the show, I think, three times. His last call prior to this one was really regrettable, and he got run. The call prior to that, his first call, was unbelievable. An iconic call. You know, the rare first-time caller to the program where my reaction was much like the one I just had, where I laughed, but more than anything else, I was like, what the hell just happened? Who is that guy? What was that? Where did that come from? What happened? I'm checking out TweetDeck right now, and it's going off. 12 Wood, who's got a show tonight and every Friday night. Hey, Wood, who's on your show tonight? Who have you booked? Who's left, Wood, besides me? How about Jeff in Southfield? Have you had him yet? 12 Wood, in all caps, tweets, what the hell was that? Matt in Vancouver tweets, imagine someone who has never heard the show tuning in just in time to hear that psychotic phone call. Holy crap. You know, it was more schizophrenic than it was psychotic. But you're right. If you've never heard the show before, or if you were kind of just bumping around on TV and you saw CBS Sports Network and you stopped on the show and you heard that call, you'd be like, whoa, whoa, what? What kind of show is this? Is that a sports show? What is this? Who is that guy and what is he talking about? At Brown Josh Fitch tweets, Mitch Hedberg smack? What is happening today? At P. Chicago tweets, this may be the most bizarre call in Jungle history. It's right up there. And if that one's not the most bizarre call in history, then the first call that guy made is the most bizarre call in history, where he's came off the rails and started talking about Fonzarelli and Happy Days.
Jim, Fonzie is the first clone ever. He was a clone before you were even born. Think about it, clones. The character Fonzie on Happy Days was an adult male, aged somewhere between 30 and 45, not married, no kids, and living in the spare bedroom of a suburban family's home. Now, that's a clone if ever there was one, Jim. I wonder if Fonzie's full name was Arthur Caleb Fonzarelli. Jim, while my respect for the Fonz as a clone has skyrocketed, my respect for the notion of the TV character Fonzie as a ladies' man has plummeted. No wonder he never got a second date with Pinky Tuscadero. Turns out his hopes of scoring with her got Malachi crunched between two realities. He doesn't have one, he doesn't have enough money to take her anywhere better than Arnold's, and two, the bed he wanted to take her to is in the spare bedroom of Mr. and Mrs. Cunningham's house. You know, that elbow in the jukebox trick is a lot less cool when the song that drops is Bet Soy Un Perdedor. But that's what you get when you hang with Ralph and Patsy.
This guy. I started laughing when he called for the first time today because I really thought it was Mike in Indy. The screen said Mike in Indy. And the second this guy started talking, I started to laugh, not because it wasn't Mike in Indy, but because I started thinking about Arthur Fonzarelli and why he couldn't bed Pinky Tuscadero. I knew that voice. I knew who that belonged to. I had to edit this email. I think this guy speaks for a lot of people. Dude, my eyes are bleeping, rolling in my head. I'm tripping bleeps over here. What in the hell was that? What I just heard knocked me in the bleeping chin and bit my ear off at the same time. What the bleep? I mean, everybody's saying it. What the hell just happened? What was that? I know this. I can't tell you what that was. I just know that you will never hear that on any other sports talk show, ever. I mean, nobody has the callers that I have to this program, but that guy doesn't exist anywhere else but this show. And I don't know where he's been or how long he's been listening or what his deal is. He came out of nowhere with that. And I haven't laughed that hard in a long time. Samara, who is my makeup artist, my stylist, she's worked with me now for 10 years plus. She's done other TV shows. She goes, I've never seen you laugh that hard. And my response is, because I haven't. That is wild. Any other reaction? 1-800-636-8686. Just know you're going to have to beat that guy if you want the smoker. I've got Sean Porter coming up next segment. Let me talk some more golf. I would never go back-to-back, but these aren't really golf takes per se. Now, back in July, the world's fastest clone, and I started the program off today with a tweet from him, Cruz Pedregon. He offered to put the future winner of Smackoff 24's name on his funny car, a funny car that is on TV every single time it runs. It's a really nice offer, a generous offer, and a totally free offer. Free. Still, savagely mocked by Brad and Corona during his main event call last month.
Hey, shout out to Cruz Pedregon for volunteering to put the Smackoff winner's name on his race car for one race. Cruz, I don't want to look a gift horse in the mouth here, but dude, this ain't the Indy 500, man. You race NHRA drag cars that last for like 5 seconds. The only thing quicker than that with less publicity would be if Vic in NoCal volunteers to shout out the winner's name the next time he has sex. Brad and Corona!
That guy won, as he has so many times before. Thanks a lot, Cruz. Yeah, they'll see my name for maybe 4 seconds. Quote, to look a gift horse in the mouth. You know, it's obviously to find fault with something that has been given to you at no cost at all. Brad doing it to Cruz is to be expected. Brad turns anything and everything into an opportunity to talk junk, to smack. Even free gifts. All right. 2018 Masters champ, Patty Reed, doing it to the PGA Tour on Instagram. Even more surprising. Even for this dude, salty as he may be, this week the tour is in Beantown for the Dell Technologies Championships. Wednesday, a bunch of golfers and tour staffers went to Fenway to watch jungle favorite Justin Thomas throughout the first pitch and then stay for the Sox Marlins afterwards. Apparently, Patrick Reed had a problem with the seats. What he didn't have a problem with was letting the entire world know that he had a problem with the seats, because this dude took a family photo from the game with his wife and his sister-in-law, all of them smiling ear to ear, and then the following caption, quote, "Thank you, PGA Tour, for the tickets to the Red Sox game tonight. I love how you put my wife, sister-in-law, and myself in the line drive section. We paid $650 to upgrade our seats and ended up in the same section as the rest of the tour. Hashtag front row." Hey, there's looking a gift horse in the mouth, and then there's punching a gift horse in the mouth. Going on Instagram to blow up the PGA Tour for hooking you up with free tickets to Fenway that you didn't like because you were in the, quote, line drive section. That's cold cocking a gift horse in the mouth. First of all, the hell is the line drive section? The hell is the line drive section? I've heard of box seats, Diamond Club, the Loge, luxury suites, nosebleeds, but I've never heard of the line drive section. Isn't the entire yard the line drive section? Hey, go ask that dude in C-Town last night who wore a laser foul ball off his forehead from about 300 feet out about the line drive section. Pretty sure the entire park is the line drive section, especially Fenway. And no, Patty Reed definitely did not bring his glove to the yard. Well, maybe he did, but it was a golf glove. My man dressed like he either came from the track or was heading there afterwards. Golf hat, golf shirt, golf pants. His wife was head-to-toe in Ryder Cup gear. Pretty awesome baseball game look. Hey, again, I don't know. I just know that Instagram post is salty as hell. And it's coming from a dude who has been alleged to be not the warmest of guys. I normally have his back because, hey, look, he's being real. I respect that. I don't care. He's not fake. You know exactly where you stand. He's not fake. He's not insincere. He's not genuine. No names mentioned. Hefty. Like, you know what you get with Patty Reed. Except that's not a great look. Also, pretty classy to mention you had to dig into your own pocket and pull out $650 to upgrade to the front row. That didn't play so well coming from a guy who dropped off $2 million in Masters winnings this past April at the bank to have to complain about that money. But that's not me. I really don't care again, but check out some of the reaction. People did care. Here's a sampling of the comments on his post. These are from real people who left their thoughts on his Instagram page. Quote, I would pay $650 to punch you in the face. You make Ian Poulter likable. And finally, this one, quote, bro, I hate you. Bro, I hate you. Safe to say this guy's not a fan favorite. Well, not amongst some fans, obviously. But even safer to say, he doesn't give a damn what you think. He feeds off it. It's fuel. And maybe in some kind of sick, twisted chess move, this is his way of getting fueled up for the Ryder Cup next month. Trust me, Patrick Reed will use any and all hate as premium fuel. So, love the dude or hate the dude, know this. He doesn't care. He's all about two things. One, winning. And two, getting the hell out of the line drive section. And he doesn't care if he's got to pay for it himself. Even if the tour did hook him up. Quote, bro, I hate you. Dude, I'd pay $650 to punch you in the face. People don't like that guy. I actually do. But that was not a great look. Complaining about free seats. Complaining about not getting seats that are good enough. Complaining about being, quote, in the line drive section. The hell is that? All right, so we've talked a little bit of golf. Getting ready to talk some boxing. Top-ranked WBC welterweight Sean Porter coming up momentarily. And I'm still getting Jeff in Southfield reaction. Yeah, I get that too, man. That dude is different. That cat is a different dude. Get up in here before the long holiday weekend. Take your shot at the smoker. Ed Heads from Bacon tweets, I picture Jeff in Southfield making that call, looking in a mirror with a sock puppet on his hand. Strange.
Of course, I'm not really Mike in Indy. I'm Rick in Buffalo. I called today to talk about that loser, Vic in NoCal.
Him bouncing back and forth between guys that he's not and then giving himself credit. Schizo. Weird, weird call. The only question I have left is this. Will Mike in Indy actually call back? Normally, Mike calls in the last segment. Mike has already won a couple of these things. Does he want a third? Is he going to react to some of the calls that have been made about him today? Is Mikey going to call in the last segment? We'll find out. When we come back, though, we talk some boxing with Sean Porter. There is something to be said for being the very best. You know you've outrun, outpaced, outsmarted the competition. Elite athletes know that you cannot be the best until you have beaten the best. If you want to compete at the highest level, you need to be strong. You need to stay strong. You need to be like Castrol Edge, the strongest full synthetic motor oil engineered with fluid titanium technology to reduce power-robbing friction and to maximize engine performance. Did you know that friction can rob 10% of performance from your engine? Imagine then being lined up across the ball from somebody who's at 100% when you're only at 90. That guy's got the advantage. Castrol Edge is strong under pressure, reducing friction so your engine can't perform at its highest level. Not only strong, but three times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. That according to the Kurt Orban test. Kurt Orban, that's the strength your engine needs to perform at the highest level and to keep you living right there on the edge. Castrol Edge, stronger under pressure.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Time to talk some boxing. I'm fired up to do it. Love the sport. I'm joined right now by the former IBF welterweight champion. He is the number one WBC welterweight contender. He is 28-2-1, 17 wins by knockout. Garcia v. Porter for the WBC 147-pound belt, September 8th. It is live on Showtime. We are joined right now by Sean Porter. Sean, great to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm great, Jim, man. It's a pleasure to be on the line with you.
You too, Sean. Great talking to you. Thank you very much. Now, we're about a week away from you stepping into the ring in Brooklyn. First things first, Sean, how has your camp been going, and how eager are you to get back into the ring and face Danny Garcia for the WBC belt?
Well, I'm glad camp is pretty much over. We worked very hard throughout the camp, and especially in the last 2 weeks. We've flew in about six different sparring partners, another coach in Barry Hunter, who has also gone up against Danny Garcia with his fighter, Lamont Peterson. So I think we're full loaded. We're ready to go.
All right, so styles make fights. We know this. You've made absolutely no secret of the fact that this is a fight that you've wanted for a long time. Is it because you've wanted to fight Danny Garcia for a long time, or is it because you want another shot at that 147-pound belt for a long time?
Well, it's like you said, styles make fights. I think when I first began calling out Danny Garcia, it was specifically to fight him. I thought that my style was better than his, and I had everything that it took to beat him. Since then, Keith Thurman went on to beat him, but after Keith relinquished his WBC title, for me, it all became about the WBC title. So I feel like I'm getting the two-for-one here with Danny Garcia and fighting for the WBC as well.
Sean Porter joining us. Now, you've also said that you're going to force him to fight you and to make him do things that he does not like to do or is not used to doing in a fight. As you watch him, what are some of those things that he's not used to doing that you think you can take advantage of?
All of it, and I'm bringing it all to the ring. I think the two biggest things in boxing, actually, I think number one, you have to be able to box, you know, going backwards, and, you know, if somebody's coming at you, you got to be able to turn and fight and make them miss. I don't think he's very good at that, and you know, my style is one that's very aggressive and, you know, come right at you for 12 rounds. And I think the other thing as well is, when a guy is moving away from you, you got to be able to catch that guy, get up on him, and create offense. And I don't think he's good at that either. I don't think he's very good at creating offense unless the guy's right in front of him. So we're going to use it all. We're going to attack him in each and every way. And we won't leave it up to the judges. We're going in there to knock him out.
Sean Porter joining us. All right, then. So after he beat Brandon Rios back in February, you jumped in the ring and you started jaw with Danny. How were you, or what were you feeling in that moment, and what do you make of the way he responded to it?
Well, I knew he was going to be in Vegas. I live here. And I was like, man, that's prime time for me to, you know, make a statement. And, you know, I didn't know I was going to be getting into the ring until that night, and I made up my mind that I wanted to get in the ring and call him out in front of all the fans in Vegas and the millions that were watching. And, you know, I was wanting him to respond exactly the way he did, say, come on, let's do it. Come on, let's do it. And, you know, obviously anyone who saw it, he didn't exactly say it that way. But, you know, basically what I wanted him to do was accept the fight in that moment. And I think that's kind of what pushed everything forward to make this fight happen.
Porter v. Garcia, that fight's coming up. Sean Porter, my guest. Hey, Sean, you know the deal. When you fight Danny Garcia, in the lead-up to the fight, Danny's father is going to say some crazy outlandish things, like what he said about Keith Thurman. I mean, what do you make of what his dad has said, and how do you make sure you don't let that get under your skin?
You know, I'm tough. For me, it doesn't matter what you say outside the ring. We get paid to get in the ring and fight. So I'm not worried about any of the antics coming from the Garcia camp. And I've had some fun along the way as well. You know, I dressed up as his dad on Instagram one day and did a little video, and also, you know, dressed up as Macho Man Randy Savage and called out Danny Garcia. I've had some fun, and I saw just recently I have had Shane Mosley in camp with me this week, and we were going through some things, and there was a video camera on, some video footage got out, and his dad, in turn, did something, I think, about 2 days ago on Twitter, releasing a video kind of mimicking me and Shane Mosley. So I hope it stays this way, just fun and pure competition. If it turns in the other way, I'm sure my dad will be right there to handle it.
Hey, dude, I got to ask you something. Man, you are loose. You are loose. You're confident. You're having fun. You're enjoying the process. Are you like this before all your fights, much less one this big?
Especially this one. I've had a few opportunities to do commentary for boxing, and before each segment that I've done, I've always reminded myself, just have fun, be loose, just have fun. And that's kind of what I started doing with this fight in particular. I continued to tell myself, you know, just have fun with this and stay loose and enjoy the moment. I think there, you know, fighting is so serious and boxing is so serious. Oftentimes we don't get to have fun when it's time to enjoy it, you know. So I've been doing my best to do that. And, you know, the night of the fight, I expect to be dominant and hopefully have fun in the ring as well.
Sean Porter joining us. You mentioned social. Now, in your Twitter bio, you have Northeast Ohio's own. I know you take a ton of pride in your roots. So what's it mean to you to be from Northeast Ohio and to represent the area on the international stage?
You know what, man? I keep telling everybody this year I want to get on the Browns football field. I've never been on the field, and it would just mean so much to me to be able to take that WBC title back home to Cleveland and actually get on the field with it. That's something that I dream of doing. I'm a big football fan and a humongous Cleveland Browns fan as well. So I'm doing this first and foremost for myself. This is one of my goals that I created for myself when I turned pro. And so that's first, but, you know, second thing is to get back home with this belt and, you know, kind of towed it around a little bit. That's something I never do. So I'm looking forward to having fun.
Garcia V. Porter for the WBC 147-pound belt, September 8th, live on Showtime. Sean, before you go, let me ask you about 2010, 2011. You went to the Philippines to spar with Manny Pacquiao. What was that experience like, and what did you take away from those trips?
We still talk about Manny in camp. That whole trip and I two different camps amounted to. It amounted to a lot of learning and amounted to a lot of fun, but also it amounted to us understanding, well, me myself understanding, you know, how it really is done to prepare for a championship fight. He worked extremely hard, and, you know, that's what I do, you know. So even in camp now, I'm still kind of mimicking the things I would see him do or say or how I would see him act, because I feel like he, in a lot of ways, was the epitome of a world champion.
Hey, one more guy, if not him, I know you'll agree with this. You're a student of the sport, so you understand. And back in May, you had a chance to wish Marvin Hagler a happy birthday. You've called him your favorite fighter. Man, Hagler was something else. He was unbelievable. What was it that you respected and liked so much about him?
I'll tell you what, man. And he just became my favorite boxer when I was about 10 years old. I saw a lot in him what I wanted to do myself. He was, to me, the greatest boxer puncher in the game. That means he could box you from the outside, hit you with punches from the outside. He was fast, but he was also strong and mean. He would come right at you, and oftentimes you wouldn't be able to stand up to it. And I absolutely loved it. So my first opportunity getting to meet him, I told him, you know, how much he meant to me in my career and the things that I do, my style, so on and so forth. And in turn, he actually shocked me and told me that I'm one of his favorite fighters now, you know. So him and I have become very cordial and have been able to meet up on a few different occasions and have a lot of fun. So for me to tell him happy birthday was you know, just icing on the cake to what I've been able to do with him so far in my lifetime.
It's one of the great controversies of the sport. The decision did not go his way. Where did he come out, Sean? Do you think that he beat Ray Leonard?
I thought he beat Ray. And being a Ray Leonard fan as well, that fight for me is really hard to score. You know, and I always put myself in Marvin Hagler's position because I've been there before when you have, you know, decisions that don't go your way or whatever. I just tried to learn from that experience. You know, a lot of people say that Leonard was stealing rounds at the end of each round. And so that's something that, as a young fighter, you learn from. You learn that, you know, obviously you can't take your foot off the gas pedal, but in those last 10 to 20 seconds, if you really do, you know, put your foot on the gas pedal, it will leave a lasting impression on the judges. And so, you know, I can't say enough of how prepared I am for this fight, inside and out.
Yeah, Sean, last thought about that. Ray Leonard, I think you made a great point. Remember, he would steal rounds at the end of rounds because he would have those great flurries and finishes, and it would make an impression upon the judge. Think about Ray Leonard, man. He was such an amazing athlete and like a really handsome guy, like kind of like he had that young pretty boy kind of thing. But the fact is, man, he had so much heart and so much grit. Like, how courageous and how tough a fighter was Ray Leonard, aside from everything he could do athletically?
Ray was just he's so different as a boxer. He just was really, really different. He could have fun. He was so flashy and, like you said, and very handsome as well, because was intelligent and articulate, could speak, you know. So he had in his time what a lot of fighters didn't have, and I think that also helped him in, you know, in being as successful as he was inside the ring and also outside the ring. And I think that's one difference in the fighters now. I think you'll see that a lot of us were – you know, we're not so much pretty boys, but you know, we're handsome, and you know, we speak a lot, you know, a lot better than they did back in the day. I think a lot of fighters now, you know, take full advantage of the opportunities and education and things like that. So I think there's more fighters out there that you'll find that are and could be compared to Ray Leonard than there were in his day.
Sean Porter, my guest. Dude, I could talk boxing with you for the rest of the hour, but I'll cut you loose. Meanwhile, the fight is live on Showtime, September 8th, WBC 147-pound belt, Garcia v. Porter. Sean, great job. Really nice to have you on the program. You handled that like a boss. Good luck in the ring, and I hope we can do it again soon.
I hope so, too, man. Absolute pleasure speaking to you today. Take care.
You too, Sean. Thanks so much. Have a great day. Really well done. Really well done. Man, I love boxing. I could have talked to him for another hour. All right, when we come back, let me set up the last segment of the show for you. It's going to be a really good one. I'm going to give away the Masterbuilt Smoker. That's good. You're going to have to beat Jeff in Southfield. I mean, this isn't going to go to the scorecards. This isn't one of those deals like, I don't know how it's scored. We know how it's scored. That nut has it in his hands right now. You have to take it from him. The question is, will Mike and Indy call in next segment to try to get his third one since the contest started? I found Rick in Buffalo. Rick in Buffalo is on hold right now. He wants to respond to what he's heard. And we'll see. Alvy's week that was. You want to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. My thanks to Sean Porter, top-ranked WBC welterweight. That championship fight's going to be on Showtime. Here is your... Programming note, I am not in on Monday, but my man Bill Ryder is. He is a pro. He is a pro. Bill Ryder does a great show. So, my man, Bill, first of all, thank you very much for stepping in, sitting in for me. I really appreciate you. And you clones, if you're out and about on Monday, check out Bill. Very good show. Excellent show. He's a great talent. So, look for that on Monday. Time for the ATP. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. This guy cuts right to the Friday chase. Dear Jim, when you go with the Hendrix, do you ever go with a cucumber instead of the olives? Scott in Morocco, war gin. No, never, 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 ever change anything about the cocktail, much less the garnish. Never go cucumber. When I get with the fellas, my guy Rob Guthrie, my guy Mike Treasel, those guys change up. Those guys like to go cucumber, little lemon twist. I don't do any of that. Straight olive and never a blue cheese olive. I don't like it muddy. I don't like the mess. Always straight up, extra dry, no vermouth, olives. And I never, ever eat the olives. My kids do. That answers that. All right, in case you missed it, Jeff in Southfield called up, and he pretended to be a bunch of guys. Pretended to be pretty much everybody but himself. One of the guys that he pretended to be was Rick in Buffalo. Wacky, wacky call, in case you missed it.
Of course, I'm not really Mike in Indy. I'm Rick in Buffalo. I called today to talk about that loser, Vic in NoCal.
All right, so that was Jeff in Southfield pretending to be Rick. This is Rick actually being Rick. Rick in Buffalo showed up at the Smack Off, had a big day. This guy is so consistent. Literally every time he calls, he makes his mark. Never has a bad day, never has a bad call, always shows up and shows up the right way. Rick, brother, what's going on? How are you?
Everything's going really well, Jim. How are you doing?
Good, bud. Really good.
Hey, Jeff in Southfield, or wherever the hell you are, save that crap for open mic night at your local dive bar. Or maybe you can link it up to your, quote, YouTube comedy channel. Last check, you had 9 subscribers. And after that performance, it's probably down to 3. But I hope you keep calling, because you make me sound normal. Now, Jim, Did Vic and NoCal really come in here and accuse me of hiding out last week? So let me get this straight. The bitch who went missing after I destroyed them all last year is calling me a coward. Not only has Vic lost his game, the dude's lost his friggin' mind. And your multiple failed attempts at getting the smoker last week were really impressive, tough guy. They were a lot like your multiple failed attempts at getting sex. Maximum effort, zero return. And we all know what your next move's going to be, Victor. When you can't get something you want for free, you'll just go out and pay for it, you scumbag. Masterbuilt.com. $300 will get you the smoker of your dreams, brother. War Rob Gronkowski not being as good as people think he is. War me getting fat, drunk, and downright intolerable this weekend. Thanks for the vine, Jim. I'm out.
What did I say about this guy? Nice job, Rick. Thanks for the phone call. Rack him. What do you say? War me getting fat, drunk, and intolerable this weekend. Rick in Buffalo. Man, shows up the same way every single time. So consistent, so strong, so good. I said it. The second that guy started to call, there have been people calling this show for years who never get any better, never change, never evolve, never improve. Rick was getting better and better and better. Showed up at the Smack Off, had a big day, and continues to do what he does. Did he rip that thing right out of weird Jeff in Southfield's hands? And don't get me wrong, don't misinterpret it. Weird is good. I like weird. Jeff is weird. Man, he is weird. And weird's good. I wish we had more weird. Not more bags. Not more baggery. Just more weird, bizarre people like Jeff.
Let's get weird.
Let's get weird. Where's Mike? Where's Mike and Indy? Where's Vic? What's going to happen? All right, I've got the week that was coming up, Alvy. If you're ready, Alvy, I am ready. What do you have? Let me know how good a week this was. Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. I hope you had an amazing weekend. Nice to have you here. How's your Monday? How's your week? Is it off to a good start? Got a good show for you. TB12 standing up for his man once again, Alex Guerrero. And that's where things got extremely awkward. Yeah!
Would you say that was true?
I said I don't want to get into it.
Was he on the sideline on Friday?
All right, guys. Have a great day.
Once again, Tom, do what you always do. Give some nothing answer and keep moving, and it's not a story. You're the one that made it a story. Julius Thomas.
A lot of it started for me with Socrates. You know, he had such interest in life to always constantly be probing people to see their reasoning behind the things they did and if they really understood their why.
Email. Unwar. First day of fourth grade pictures on Facebook. Please stop.
He's taking a picture.
My son is a senior in high school. Janet would not let him out the door without pictures. It never stops. Ross Tucker, my guest.
I'm going to write this week about how I was an idiot because I used my helmet all the time as a weapon. I had short arms, Jim, so I would headbutt dudes just to get them to blink so I could then grab them. Looking back on it now, I feel like such a moron.
This is way too good of a thing to ruin. Khalil Mack is part of the new Raiders. Blowing it and trading him would be so old Raiders.
Get over it.
You're on the right track. Why are you screwing this up?
Screwing it up.
PJ Fleck, I've got to start the interview with the same question I always do. How are you doing?
I'm doing elite, man. Thanks for having us back on the show.
Down, Giants, Odell Beckham.
I want to be legendary.
The New York Giants are worth a reported $3.3 billion. They're not making a mistake. They're not giving him all that money. He earned the money, and he's worth the money.
Email.
Or the rich, high-powered woman paying for Ira's room at the Marriott.
They love me.
Maybe they'll fall in love, just like Richard Gere and Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman. Ira is a streetwalker, and there's some rich woman that's going to send him on a shopping spree.
I'll go shopping now.
And they'll fall in love, and they'll get married. Mark Stein, Charles Barkley gave you an incredible quote. Today, my Manu retired.
Even Ginobili got to him. There was nobody like him. The stuff he would try, the passing, the wild. The guy was just a serial winner.
I told everybody.
I went to see her, and OJ was there.
Then what happened?
I think she might have had sex with him.
Sex with me.
You think or you know?
Yeah.
Which?
Yeah.
Hypothetical.
What was he like back then?
He was very nice and clean.
Okay, Andy, thank you very much.
Pluto!
These are not the same. Yoko was not mimicking somebody stabbing somebody else.
You didn't kill him too, did you?
That was art. She's singing.
No, I killed him.
Oh, I didn't either.
physically better for players.
Sure they don't, Jerry. Based on what logic? Why not play 20 then? Why not play three times a week? Why not play doubleheaders? How about a twilight doubleheader in the NFL, Jerry? Would that be safer? Anthony Lynn is my guest. Great to have you back, man. Appreciate you, and always good to have you on the show.
Next time, I hope my voice is a little better.
Coach, you sound great. You're on your grind. I get it.
All right, bro.
The King of Pop's 60th birthday. The best way to me to remember Michael Jackson is to break out the adult alarm and reset that. You're right, Clones. Like I would do that. Happy birthday, King. Michael Lombardi, my guest.
When the players are trying to get the other players to buy in, you don't have a culture. You can't win.
You can't win!
You can't sustain winning in a league that's very hard-pressed.
Or Matt from L.A. getting his jacked-up chiclet fixed by consulting with Jewel and Michael Strahan.
So why don't you fire up that ride-along John Deere mower and get to riding off into that sunset?
Aziz Alshara joining us on the program. Before you go, let me ask you about Lane Kiffin.
I don't know if you're married or anything like that, but if you have a girlfriend, you let's go and give her everything you got the first date. And that's kind of how we kind of built the relationship.
There was an open bottle of personal lubricant.
Worst case scenario, something bad happens to the animal. So, second to worst case scenario, that person comes in and has a full-blown orgy and leaves the lube out.
I misinterpreted information.
Jack Flaherty joining us for another moment.
Sherman Oaks Little League.
Oh, dude! Me too.
Where it all started. That was a fun place to be.
Did you keep your 818 phone number? Are you still repping that?
Always 818. Always remember where you came from.
818, ride or die.
Take a quick swing at some of the lower-hanging jungle fruit.
If you all had to send me a smoker after every bad call, there are not enough smokers on this planet to make that work. We are joined by Bud Black.
Jim, always a pleasure. Loved watching you over the years, obviously. And I love those guys who passed the test of time, and you've done it, pal.
Put your best feet forward, fellas. May the best man win, or in this case, the least worst.
Wes Reckler.
No, you didn't.
Buffalo Dildos.
Ah. Hey, Jim, I went to Jack in the Box this morning for breakfast. I went to the drive-thru and I said, I'll take it.
Then tell Chael, the next time I see him, I'm kicking his ass. Mike's a pervert, and he wants to hook up with my sister. You're creepy as hell, dude. You ain't getting those cookies. You bet it don't.
I'm Rick in Buffalo. I called today to talk about that loser, Rick and NoCal.
You need to get yourself a Zipa.
Oh, dozens of people think Jeff in Southfield sounds like me. From Stephen H. Town to legendary tweeter Alan and Riley.
Hey, Mike and Indy.
In your calls, you dub yourself the Don of the Midwest Mafia.
You're barely the Don of Don Knox.
Save that crap or open mic night at your local dive bar.
Thanks for being real, Jim.
What about the pictures?
Row the boats, guy him out, go Gophers.
Honestly, I don't listen to this show a lot.
Buffalo Beetle.
The ATM in the club with the $9 withdrawal fee.
Bodily fluids on the couch.
Jungle Karma's gonna help us out.
Go Broncos.
Got it wrong. I hope to see you soon, buddy.
Sandy Duncan?
Nick Van Smack.
Give me my master bills.
Good night now.
Magical effort, Alvy. Every time I hear that, it reminds me of how good this show is and what we got done the previous week. You know, I forgot to ask Jack Flaherty. I got so fired up when he mentioned that he played at Sherman Oaks Little League. I can't believe I did not ask him this. I will next time. I should save it. But I need to know, when I played at Sherman Oaks Little League and we went to the Sportsman's Lodge in the Valley for our end-of-the-year banquet, every kid who played in that Little League was given a gift. And right there on the table was that miniature set of screwdrivers and Phillips. And they had these multicolored handles, and I would look at it, and my old man would look at me like he was all handy. And believe me, my old man and I, not handy, not handy at all. He'd look at me and say, hey, that's not a toy. That is not a toy. And all I could think, and I would never say it to him because I was kind of afraid of him, all I could think is, damn, I wish it were. I'm 9, man. What the hell am I going to do with 15 little stupid little screwdrivers? I got to ask Flaherty, if in fact, when he was a star there, if he got the screwdriver set. Alvy's like, dude, we don't really have time. Hawk's like, yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. I guess that means we don't have time, Hawk. You lose. When that song comes up. If you're a contractor, a builder, or a remodeler, listen up because Lumber Liquidators is about to make your job a whole lot easier. LL Pro Plus. Lumber Liquidators' new pro services team. It gives you exactly what you need. The pro, exclusive deals, and services for all of your professional flooring needs. Put the flooring experts on your team right now. Visit your local Lumber Liquidator store. Go to lumberliquidators.com/prosales. lumberliquidators.com/prosales. The winner of the last Masterbuilt smoker is Jeff Southfield. Man, it was close. Rick in Buffalo nearly ripped it. Jeff holds on at the wire. Photo finish. Good job. Everybody have an amazing holiday weekend. Bill Ryder is in for me on Monday.